Chapter 1, Destroying Inferiority. Richard Baxter said, prayer is the breath of the new creature. Every follower of Christ embracing their position as a son or daughter of the kingdom of God is the dream of Jesus and the nightmare of the devil. One day soon, even the weakest member of the body of Christ will be as brave as David. Prophet Zechariah writes that the feeblest among them will be like David. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8. Though this book focuses on prayer, making declarations prior to prayer is the key to breaking off the inferiority complex that is so often found inside of us. Declarations remind us we are highly valued in God's kingdom, and we should not carry a feeling of insecurity, inferiority, or not measuring up. Our reactions to life problems should not result in a lifestyle of guarding our own self-esteem, making excuses, or blaming others. These reactions are rooted in fear. In the Old Testament, the Father spoke directly to our fears. He said, "Do not be afraid and fear not," over and over to his people. In the New Testament, the Father repeatedly says, "You are my son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased." Declarations give us the courage to become who we were created to be, regardless of our circumstances. When we declare the truth, the reality of who our God is and who we are transforms us from who we were to who we were called to be. Hollywood produced a movie called The Incredible Shrinking Man back in 1957 that has prophetic significance to us today. The film is about a man who is exposed to some nuclear or chemical mist that causes him to start shrinking. Pat Cat becomes a deadly foe by the end of the movie. He is fighting for his life with a common spider. Smallness causes even the ordinary things of life to become something to fear and to hide from. Declarations cause us to shake off the shrinking nature of mankind and to become significant in the kingdom. The author of Hebrews reminds us, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 through 39. Shrinking comes before destruction. The devil plans to make you feel small so that he can seem big. The world has problems looking for solutions. Christians have the solution and look for problems. When the Israelites were told to conquer the promised land, they hesitated because they felt small. They cried out to Moses, "We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. The giants in the promised land made the Israelites feel small through fear and intimidation. Each of us have giants we must face in our lives. Making declarations daily prepares us to become boldly into the place of prayer where we can receive the answers we need. We are called to crush the head of Satan. Grasshoppers turn into head crushers through declarations. Refer to one of the symptoms of insanity as being the practice of talking to oneself. Insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over, yet expecting different results. But so is faith. If you want to be sane, that is, in your right mind, talk to yourself. Learning to fly. Our words have the power to recreate ourselves into the image of God. What made David great? His meditations and emotions were expressed in songs and psalms to our God. These declarations made David into a giant killer. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Psalm 139, verse 13. David pursued his God with both his emotion and his intellect. When scriptures refer to our inmost being, it is referring to your kidneys. The ancients viewed the kidneys as the most inward part of a person. Priests who butchered the animal sacrifices would find the kidneys hidden in the deepest place of the animal. David credited God with creating his kidneys, his deepest part and the seat of his emotion. The word for kidneys in the Latin is reins. Reins are what guides a horse. Deepest part is what guides and motivates us in life. It is the place of our moral and emotional impulses. David declared, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Psalm 139:14. Scholars translate the second part of that verse as David declaring, "I am wonderful. I know that full well." Learning to fly means learning how to fully love yourself. You cannot stand in his presence with confidence if you see yourself as a slave. Sons and daughters have assurance before the throne of God because they know who they are. The Apostle John wrote to the early church, "Beloved, if our hearts does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him." 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 through 22, English Standard Version. This recreation process happens as we meditate on who we are in Christ. Declaring, "I am wonderful," may seem self-centered, but it is actually empowering the person our God created us to be. In ancient cultures, an oath was often confirmed by repeating the oath or a particular act 7 times in a row. The Hebrew word Shiva means 7, and it also means oath. 7 oneself, confirming something 7 times, establish something in the spiritual realm. Consider that most songs have chorus lines that is repeated 7 times. When we make a declaration over and over, we are establishing something from the unseen realm into the seen realm. One day, the Lord told the prophet Samuel to anoint a new king from one of the sons of a man named Jesse. David did not even make the lineup. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 10. Our declarations allow us to gain encouragement for life that is no longer based upon what other people say or don't say about us. David lived a life of declaring what God thought about him, even though his own father did not consider him worthy enough to be summoned when the prophet Samuel asked to see his sons. Significantly insignificant. We may get overlooked for a task or a leadership position, but because of declarations, we feel empowered by his spirit. The Lord warned Samuel, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. The prophet Samuel saw the outward appearance of Jesse's other sons and was impressed. Yet the Lord does not choose by what is seen in the natural. He looks at the heart. David's own father failed to even consider him as a remote possibility and labeled him in the Hebrew as Hakatan. And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, Hakatan, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. Katan means to be unworthy, not enough, or small. One author defined the word in detail. Taking the article into account, the name Hakatan would translate to something like "that young one." But it's hard to imagine why someone would be named such. In fact, the name Hakatan constitutes a bit of contradiction. The adjective Katan signifies something insignificant. Definite article is a sign of something significant. The curious name Hakatan could be paraphrased as significantly insignificant. David was not just insignificant, he was significantly insignificant. Ones the Lord is using in this season will be labeled as notably unusable, not even considered and purposely excluded. I recently turned the big 50 and my wife hosted a birthday party for me at our church. At 3 p.m. in the afternoon that day, my party began, but simultaneously an ambulance arrived at the house across the street. My wife and I ran over to find a fellow believer and friend, the victim of a massive heart attack. Let me share with you his story. My neighbor went to Bible college with zeal and passion to become a pastor. He poured himself into the Word of God for 3 solid years, studied hard, and awaited the blessing from his denomination. It never came. Rejected by man, my neighbor never walked in his calling to become the pastor he saw himself to be. He died a godly man, but never fulfilled his calling. When my neighbor shared his story with me a few months before his death, I told him the story of David. Rejection from man is often the sign of the anointing of God. In honor of sharing this story at his funeral and prayed that his life might remind us not to allow the rejection of man to ever stop the calling of God on our lives. Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia that I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, English Standard Version. The word anguish is not in the Greek text, but assumed as part of the process of childbirth. In prayer, we may also groan in pain until we see Christ fully formed in those we love. The formation of Christ in our lives will soon be beautiful, but for now, the process may be painful. Darkness is often a place where the Lord forms us into his image and his likeness. Yahweh declared the counsel of heaven, "Let us make mankind into our image, in our likeness." Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Image means we look like him. Likeness means we are able to be like him. The same spirit that made Adam come alive was also breathed into us. We literally take God's breath away. The Holy Spirit in us transforms us from caterpillars into butterflies, but this happens only in the walls of the cocoon or chrysalis. Our creation is experienced in darkness and confinement. Scientists have recently discovered the blueprints or codes that is deep inside the cells of our body. These blueprints are called DNA. The main function of DNA is to store information that guides the construction of our entire being. When Jesus encounters our DNA, we become like him. The blueprint of our very nature is altered, and we are continually being transformed from glory to glory. Spending time in prayer changes the DNA of our very identity so that we become like Jesus. When David appeared before Samuel, the presence of God was evident in his life. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had an excellent appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 23. Everyone and everything is created with a purpose. Samuel's name means God has heard, spoke over David the words that confirmed his destiny. The words of Samuel brought the life of David into alignment with heaven. The oil Samuel poured on David's head came from a ram's horn that symbolized authority. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 23. The Spirit comes on us when we begin walking in our anointed identity. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 says, The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Word Meshach means to anoint, smear, or set apart for a position. The underlying meaning of the word, however, is simply to smear something on an object using oil. Most commonly, Meshach is used to indicate anointing in the sense of unique setting apart for an office or function. The word Meshach is where we get the word Messiah, which is the title given to Jesus. It means anointed one, smeared one. As is true in the verb Meshach, implies an anointing for a particular office. The New Testament title of Christ is derived from the Greek Christos, which is the exact equivalent to the Hebrew Meshach, for it is also rooted in the ideal of to smear with oil. The term Christ emphasizes the special anointing of Jesus of Nazareth for his role as our God's chosen one. Meshach can also be understood as one singled out or chosen for a task characteristically one of deliverance. Jesus is the anointed one, but we also have been anointed. Christ followers are called Christians or anointed ones or smeared ones. The anointing brings the power of our God upon an individual to complete a task. Speaking and declaring. Often we neglect prayer in favor of working in the natural realm. We should not forget the power we have when we speak and declare heaven's plans on the earth. Prayer is actual labor in the spirit realm that will transform the physical realm around us. I am convinced that David was trained to be a great warrior both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Could use both his sling and his heart. David could bring down his enemies with his slingshot, but he could bring heaven down with his heart. When he was questioned by the king about his ability to kill Goliath, he responded, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 36 through 37. During his prayer time, David would sing of God's love and faithfulness over his life to the place where he had strengthened his spirit to overcome fear. He came pre-encouraged to the battle. We often lose our battles in life because we fail to encourage ourselves in the Lord. What was on the inside of David had to be more powerful than what he faced on the outside, not only met with the doubts of his king, but also with the ridicule of his brothers. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? How conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. Prayer gives us the confidence to say yes to the plans of God. Often the people around us fear someone else becoming a success because it exposes their own personal insecurity. Someone once said, "Mediocrity is always invisible until passion shows up and exposes it. Envy and jealousy are often the true motives of why people criticize those who are stepping out in faith. Put up to the battle, not as a warrior, but to deliver bread and cheese. He was the pizza delivery guy, yet God used him to stand up to the giant. No king and warrior in Israel had enough courage to stand up to their taunting enemy. David was young and inexperienced in battle, yet he was powerful and bold in his faith in Yahweh. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23. Goliath means exile, and his purpose was to cause God's chosen people to be driven from their land of promise. We all must face our Goliaths with boldness and faith. Otherwise, we will be forced from the destiny God has given us. Through prayer, we become champions and giant killers. When David heard Goliath taunting Israel, notice he mocked him and labeled him as an uncircumcised Philistine. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant placed upon every Jewish baby boy on the eighth day of their lives. The fact Goliath was not circumcised points to the reality that Goliath was not in covenant with Yahweh. David's confidence pointed not to his military skill or training, but in the fact that he was in covenant with the God of the universe. He boldly put Goliath in his place. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 45 through 47. Instead of running from the giant, David ran toward him. In prayer, we recognize we have authority over the power of the enemy because we are in agreement with heaven. Agreement with heaven connects us to heaven's authority. With only 5 stones and a sling, David ran to the battle. Stein moved closer to attack him. David sprinted toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down to the ground. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48 through 49. Many years ago, I was wrestling in prayer over some issues that were going on in my church. I remember finally feeling a breakthrough in my prayers, and I saw myself like David as he stood over the dead body of Goliath. I saw myself looking at the stunned Philistine army on one side and the shocked Israelite army on the other. I then saw myself cutting off Goliath's head and holding it up in the air in every direction. I believe this is what David did. The head of Goliath displayed by David caused fear to rise in the hearts of his enemies and faith to grow in the army of Israel. Ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine sword and drew it from the sheath. After he had killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Philistine saw that their hero was dead. They turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 51 through 52. Every one of us has giants that stand in front of the gates of our destiny. Removing the heads of those giants can be accomplished once we know who we are in Christ. You and I must not allow the giants of the land to cause us to live in exile. The most dynamic truth we can discover in life is who Jesus is. The second most dynamic truth we can find in life is who we are in Christ. Our covenant agreement grants us the authority we need to overcome, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.